Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Yo, yo, back again. It's Sunday, rap name Sunday. You know the voice, you know the hairline, man. It's Mari. Jerry, what up, my nigga? What's going on?
What's good with you, fam?
Hey, shit, man. You know what I mean? Out here, you know what I mean? Very much out here. We chilling. Listen, we say this every week, we got a special guest. All we do is special guests on this shit, apparently. You know what I mean? Like, we're not just throwing that around just lightly or whatever. We got the homie in the building, man. Riggs, what's going on, my G? What's good?
What's the word, homie? How you feeling?
Good, good, man. I'm chilling, man. You know what I mean? For those who can't see, man, my man Riggs. If you know Riggs, you know Riggs is an ill nigga, talking about the music, man, but like you just finished up a workout. You got the coconut water on deck, you know what I'm saying? What's going on with you, mama? What's good with you, man? What you was fucking with, man? What you into?
Cooling, man. Just tightening up cloth tape, know what I mean, bro? Getting this shit ready to go, you know what I mean?
Look at yo. Nah, this nigga hilarious, man. But you know, it's the portion of the show, man. We kick it off with the, you know, what we listening to right now, man. Jerv, I'm curious, man. What you on this week, man? I want to take a wild guess and say you listening to some early 2000 shit, some late 90s shit or something like that. You gonna surprise me this week, or what you on?
No, I'm gonna stay on par.
Okay.
You know, my daughter discovered the Black Album.
Okay.
So I've realized that my 2-year-old on some real shit really does fuck with Encore rather heavy. So as a dad, that makes me excited because she has good taste. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I got her. You know, I got her vibing to that. So it's been a heavy a Black Album rotation for me. You know, I just got in my bag, man. I wanted to hear some legendary shit. You know what I mean? Some shit that, you know, I feel like, you know, impacted me.
Yeah.
So to see it impact my daughter, even though she has no idea what the fuck big homie talking about when he said I got a joint to knock your points off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She don't know what that shit mean, but she see me. She see me.
She like, know, it gotta be some shit. Yeah, Pop's vibing to it.
She like, he gotta be saying something. Dad, we're fucking going crazy on these fucking parts. So, so that's what I'm on.
All right, yeah, man. I went back and I was listening to the best of the Clue freestyles. Like, top. I was just listening to that tape like all the way through, and that shit was putting me back. Like every time I heard a beat drop, or you heard Styles on there, heard like fucking Cannabis even, you know what I'm saying? And Banks and all them. Like, it was just an ill tape. So I was listening to that. And of course, like, Her's album has not left my rotation since it dropped. Every week we get on here and talk about this shit. I don't care what I'm listening to.
I might check. She announced the tour.
She going to Philly. I don't think she coming down here, but.
Nah, she going to Philly, but can I keep it all the way of being with you?
If you're gonna say something disrespectful, don't say it.
I'm not. It's about to be disrespectful, but it's not disrespectful to you.
Keep it to your fucking self.
Nah, it's not disrespectful to you.
All right, what is it?
I saw the prices, and I was just like,
oh, okay, okay, all right, cool.
I don't think we there yet. You know what I'm saying? And it's no shot, dog. The pandemic fucked a lot of motherfuckers up. Niggas got to make up for that.
Outside costs a little bit more. They did the math on it.
But I saw like Bruno Mars type prices.
Yeah, it's over. It's over. It's over for that. You should mute it. Nigga should mute it. Nigga still go crazy. But
oh shit, my bad. I didn't realize. There's no disrespect, no shots, no shade.
She got a Grammy. Her music. His voice. You got Grammys.
That's what's up, dog.
Yeah.
I saw prices that I didn't see for Big Homie.
Yesterday's price. It's not today's price, my nigga. Come on now. We know that. Like, we know what's going on.
I hear you, bro. But you had to do something yesterday for yesterday's price. Today's price.
See, now you get disrespectful. We're going to move on. I'm not even going to do this with you. Promise I'm not. But Riggs, yo, you know what I mean? You are our guest on this shit and all that. So, I mean, you could go either, you know, you can go either or both. You can tell us what you're listening to at the moment or what you're working on. I know you got music out right now. So, what you fucking with right now?
Shit, man. I've been listening to fucking Styles. I've been real heavy. Ghost in the Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost of Sat by the Door. And old Nas freestyles, like My Worst Enemy, like all the joints he ain't dropping, 9-6 and all that.
Yeah.
Been in that pocket, man, honestly.
Yeah, nah, that's good. I mean,
I appreciate that right there, fam, because, you know, I tend to be in my 2000s bag, my 90s bag. Quite often when he asking me what I'm listening to, and this nigga always grinding me up.
It's not even that.
You grind me up, dog. No. Like you like to mention my age and shit. You know what I'm saying?
No. You like to mention my age because you like, yo, this nigga, you act like I was born last night and all that. Like, nah, man.
But nigga, you wasn't born when I was like 10, nigga. Like,
that's on you. That's not, you know, it's whatever.
I'm outside, my nigga. I'm outside, dog. Like, I'm living. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, no, as you should, you better be. You damn sure better be. But you know, listen, man. Like I said, we got rigs on. So I've been let's start here, right? Like, I think this is a good place to start as any. You got the tape out right now, right? It's been out for, I want to say like a little bit over a month. It dropped like the end of July, maybe. What's been the feedback that you've been getting from it so far? Like, what's been like some standout, you know, some standout tracks that you've seen people kind of fucking with more, or, you know, just how it's been. The Wake Ups, by the way, you know, if you guys don't know, Wake Ups is out. Please go stream that. That shit is incredible.
Shit, man. I've been getting the great response. Honestly, it's like from an artistry perspective, it's like I'm coming to find out that like certain people who listen to me look for certain shit out of me. Some want pop wild shit, you know what I'm saying? Some like the storyteller side of me, some more introspective side of me. Well, I mean, I'm giving gems and whatnot. And so like, it's been varied from like what song I've been poking out to a lot of people. So like, I respect that shit, I like it.
Okay. Yeah, let me ask you this,
because you just brought up like, you know, different styles, right? Like different shits that your fans may want to hear from you, right? What's that? What is that? Or how do y'all go about deciding that, right? Because I'm in that boat where I'll fuck with an artist and I want to hear, you know, certain shit at certain times, but either the beat may not be there or that may just not be the vibe that they on. Like, how do you go about deciding, yo, on this track, I'ma tell a story. This track, I'ma talk my shit. This track, I'ma drop some gems, or I might bar them to death on this one. Like, how do you go about deciding that, or is it just a feeling?
Yeah, it's a feeling. I feel like you come in the studio and you got something premeditated, what you want to say, and the shit be pure. I feel like it should be navigated by like whatever thought or emotion or memory, like the music gives me. Know what I mean? So like, off that, wherever it take me, I just go with it. Know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, it's a very interesting perspective when you say it like that. And I think even listening to your music, right? Like, I think you're very specific and precise with even down to the words you use, right? Like, you're one of the artists that I listen to that I feel like doesn't waste words. As far as like your writing process, just your creating process overall, like, is it something you do every time that, you know, is always just like, this is what I'm doing today? Or is it just kind of like, yo, I'm in the mood to write, I'm in the mood to rap, I'm gonna just go do this. You know what I mean? Or do you have like a method, like all the time?
Yeah, all the time. Hell yeah, all the time. Because like, I write like majority of my shit, I be in the fucking car. I'm saying? But not so. I write most of my shit on the move, but before anything, like, music was like an escape and a way to vent, because I'm more of like I'm introverted for the most part. So, got like, you. Music always been a way, just know what I mean, to say what I feel, get my shit off without it coming out destructively in real life and shit. So I be writing all the fucking time, know what I'm saying? I'm an impulsive writer, though. Like, when I get a beat, I got to do it right there. I'm not the kind of shit... months, I'm not going to do the beat unless I do that shit right there. But that film, I ain't fucking with it. Know what I mean?
It was funny you say that about your process. We talked to Poobs a while ago, right? Shout out to Poobs. That's family, you know, right there from D-Block. And he was talking about Styles' creative process. And he was talking about how Styles comes to the studio, and if you got beats on for him, play the beats, and if he falls asleep on the couch over there, keep the beats playing, because that's how he writes. Like, he'll wake up and he'll put in something else and he'll go back to sleep and he'll hear it in his sleep. You know what I mean? So a lot of producers used to call and be like, yo, do this nigga fuck with me? And he like, yeah, like, just don't turn the beat off. You know what I mean? Like, just do not turn the beat off. He go keep going. So that's interesting. And that's crazy. But is it any type of beat that you won't do, first of all? Like, you hear something and you fuck with it, but is any type of beat that you just like, nah, I'm not doing this at all?
Yeah, I don't really know if it's a genre or a type, but it's just certain shit I'm not fucking with. Now, Like, I think it's time and a place for everything. Like early on, Mav told me some real shit that I stuck to. He was like, yo, when you approaching your style or what you want to do, fuck boxing yourself in or fuck sticking to one routine. Just make the kind of shit you would want to listen to. So, gotcha. Like, that simplify how I approach anything. Like, when I hear it, I'll be like, yo, would I want to hear that? Like, know what I mean? Because I like to hear people spaz on shit. I like to hear that if you're versatile enough to play on these other joints sometimes. So, like, it really depends. I just don't like where people step out of their zone and they sound trash and they don't understand that. That's when it's kind of crazy. Like,
got you.
If you're not versatile enough, everything, then step on the shit that you're good at stomping on and just win with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like Patrick Ewing said, you practice that shot? Did you practice that, dog? Like, if you ain't practice that shot, don't be, you know what I mean? Pull up some of these bars real quick, man. It's some shit, man. So, before I get to these, right? Before I get to these bars, because I think that these are some of the things that kind of stand out to me when I listen to you, is that with being introverted, I think that a lot of your stuff comes across like you read a lot, right? It gives me the impression that you read a lot, that you know, there's a lot going on, because a lot of the gems that you give out is like advice, really. You know, and one of them is when you said, proud of how you doing the foolish things that don't feed you, can't see it because ego ain't the lens you can see through. Like, let's talk about that for a second, because I get that a lot from your music, where it's like you always make sure that the ego takes a back seat. And you're prideful, but not being like arrogant. You know what I mean? Like I feel like you walk that line like really well. So like, let's talk about that a little bit. Like, what goes into that even that kind of shit right there?
That's a good ass question. With that, it's like, that's a good ass question. Yeah, I appreciate that question. Cause listen, I've been on a lot of joints that ask me like some real Walmart value questions.
We don't do that over here. We don't do that over here.
So I appreciate that first and foremost. But
good looking.
With that shit, it comes from the perspective of this. Like I really started on I was always in a weird motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? Like really looking at my surroundings, like at a higher level than people around me, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
As far as free and shit go, I ain't really getting to that until like years later. But as far as like how the gems go, it's like, yo, when that shit come out of me, it be like, shit, I wish somebody said to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like coming from where we come from, niggas take a lot of bumps, bruises, catch biz, a whole bunch of unnecessary dumb shit because they ain't know. They wasn't willing to heed that shit or hear it. So like when I write, that shit kind of always leap out of me because I seen like a lot of shit around me, a lot of people around me throw their shit away. But like to touch on that specific bar, it was ego ain't a bad thing to me. You know what I'm saying? Because ego is where your confidence live at. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's when it get out of control.
Yeah, unchecked, man. Unchecked ego. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can't see through that, but you could live in your ego to the point where you standing on your square and you know that you're capable of doing that. Know what I mean? But that's where that was coming from.
So being an, like you said, you're an introvert, right? Me, I feel like I am also. So I know some of the things that I battle just with that type shit, right? Like, how hard is that? Because how hard is it controlling that? Maybe, I don't want to say getting past that, but maybe it is getting past that when you're in the type of shit where it's just like, you know, you an introvert, but you still gotta be out here, right? So like, how hard is it balancing that, like, you know, your true inner shits that you just go through just as a normal human being, as a normal man, as a normal person just growing up and just trying to put food on the table, et cetera, but knowing that you gotta step outside of the box every now and then because, you know, in order to get certain bags or whatever the case may be, you know what I mean? You may have to step out of the comfort zone that you in or that you find yourself in.
True indeed, man. That shit real. That shit is valid. it's a challenge, but it's like a challenge that I invite. Cause like, I had to kind of assume my role as like a leader for like my coalition. And when I process like the definition of playing my role and leading how I'm supposed to, I know what that comes with, you know what I mean? And like my comfort zone that I would like be used to, that will hold us back, that will hold me back. So like, I just challenge myself, you know what I'm saying, to network more, take myself out of my space, do what I gotta do. Cause at the end of the day, I'm about to win. Know what I'm saying? For me and mine. So like, it'd be challenging here and there, but like, I'm up for it. I'm up for it. I ain't gonna lie. I mean,
yo, listen, I know you up for it because the first song on the tape, the intro to the song, the outro to the song, and you know, if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, coconut water. Listen, dog. Yeah, he already. Listen, I'm gonna tell you this. All of my favorite rappers have these couple different qualities, right? One is that they pop shit about things that actually matter, right? Like, not about, like, oh, this watch. Like, okay, somebody with money can get that watch. Tell me some shit that you did that's ill. To let me know that you're ill, right? That's one. Two, they're never impressed with rappers. And I hear a lot of that in your ad-libs. Like, your ad-libs is like, fuck out of here, nigga. Like, get the... Like, you know what I mean? Like, you already know, like... Yeah. But on Coconut Water, when he said he was up, I'm gonna tell you how I knew he was up. Said, look, man, I ain't one of these dudes gonna tell you I got this, I got that. Nah, but the lawyer money is there. Lawyer money is there, dog. So talk about that, right? Because a lot of artists, they aspire for things like, oh, I want to get enough money to get the Maybach truck, or I want to get enough money to get this and that, you know, and that a third, and they overlook these, you know, necessary things. Like, talk about that. Did you have somebody either like right there in your corner, you know, telling you like, look, this is what you need to focus on, or did you just watch like the, I guess, kind of like the mistakes of others and say, nah, that's not going to be me. I need to do this. Like, how did that come about?
It's a mixture of both. You know what I'm saying? I definitely had a few people in my life that showed me and instilled in me what integrity is. You know what I'm saying? And that's like a quality that is not in this industry too much at all. Oh, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of shallow people that put worthless shit on the pedestal. And that kind of shit, honestly, it aggravate me. And I look at niggas like they corny. You know what I'm saying? Like, real has been like, how could I explain this? Like, what most artists and rappers define as real, they've tailor-made it and navigated it for that to be defined by how much money you got, what you wearing, now I'm saying, the car you driving, and like, that shit is all corny because it don't make no fucking sense to me. So, like, I be at them. Ain't gonna lie. Know what I mean? Like, I be at that kind of shit because I feel like if don't nobody touch on it, it'll never be no balance. And, like, me growing up on music and hip-hop and shit, I know how heavily influenced I was from music more than my household sometimes.
Right.
Now, so I feel like it's just balanced to have people who influence the other side of the shit because a lot of these dudes be talking some, yeah, it'd be crazy.
Yeah, they're just giving you one side of it, like the glitz and the glamour, you know what I mean, of it. Nah, that's ill.
So you just mentioned, you know, like the influences and shit like that growing up. You know, I mean, everybody, depending on your age, I feel like that really does dictate the type of artist, whether it be hip hop, you know, jazz, whatever the case may be, whether it was your parents, old heads, or whatever they had playing going on around you when you was young, really influenced you. Like, so I know what it was that influenced me for like hip hop, just in general, for like hip hop to be such a big part of my life. I've asked Mari like plenty of times, you know, that's part of our ongoing shit because the nigga was not born when I was 10, right? So the shit.
So I'm born in 88. Because
if
nobody heard this podcast,
excuse me, good brother. Nah, I didn't cut you off, fam. No, you being rude. We got a guest today, bro. You being rude, dog.
Rappers rude. Fuck it, man. Listen, I was born in 88. I was born in 88. Let's get that out there. This nigga like I was born in 93 or something. Like, I was born in 88, man.
So my question would be like, what was your influences? Like, what was the stuff that you was listening to, whether it be at a young age or whatever age or whatever that made you say, yo, I want to do that shit?
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks, that's the way to go. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you. Demons and Goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry stays alive. Prize Picks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account. This football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. You're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Hello, listener. Have you ever used ButcherBox? I don't know if you know this about me, but I used to be a butcher. I used to work at an unnamed grocery store. I used to be that tall man behind the counter in your neighborhood, cutting up meat and preparing seafood for you. And I know that it can be a stressful situation. I know that it can be crowded. You have to wait your turn. You have to know what you want. You feel rushed. Sometimes you might think that your butcher has a bad attitude. I don't know. Happened to a friend. Couldn't possibly be me. But that's why I love ButcherBox. ButcherBox brings you peace of mind. You can easily find high quality beef, chicken, pork that you can trust is humanely raised. There's no antibiotics or added hormones. There's the ultimate convenience of not having to deal with butchers or the crowded meat counter after a long day at work. It's delivered right to your doorstep. There's always free shipping and there's incredible value. You're getting really high quality products at an amazing value. You get exclusive member deals. You get recipe inspiration, guides, hacks. A little hack from my butcher experience, the petite top sirloin, which is about half the price of the New York steak, is a very similar cut with a fat cap on one side, and you get very good tenderness out of the petite sirloin. If you've ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse and you see them talking about picanha, that's the petite sirloin. With ButcherBox, I'm always prepared. I always have meat on deck for a grill and chill, a cookout, or just making dinner at home. And I'm saving a ton of money from shopping at the grocery store all the time. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's great, but what's my reward for signing up for ButcherBox? Well, I'm glad you asked, because if you sign up at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, you will get free ground beef for life. For life. Enough ground beef to fill the Nile, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/dings.
Oh, man. It was niggas from where I'm from, honestly. Before, first and foremost, can't even front. It was niggas from here like UWAP, Warfield. But when it come to like well-known acts, it was definitely Nas and the Lox. Like I'm definitely a Lox baby for sure. You know okay. What I'm saying? definitely a Lox baby, Nas baby. Cool G. I kind of got in that lane because who I was around, like I always ran with people who was a little older than me.
Okay.
And I'm John, but at this time, ain't no CD players no more. And I mean, at that time, I was grabbing niggas CD players. They leave me CD.
Yeah.
First joint that really caught me was Nas, The Message. Now, I heard it was over me. Now, man, I ain't never giving that CD back.
Yeah, it's over for that. Yeah, it's over for that for sure. Like, and that's you know, what's crazy. It's like, you know, later on, you know, when niggas had the computer in the crib burning CDs and shit, you know what we used to do? If somebody came to the block with something that we like a CD, I'd be like, yo, let me listen to that real quick. And I'd take that joint in the crib, burn it real quick, get that back. Oh, all right, bro, yeah, appreciate it. That shit was all right. Well, whole time we got this shit on it. You know what I mean? We got it. We got this one right there. We good. Like, now we got that whole CD. Don't even worry about it. We're going to listen to that shit later. Like, you know what I mean? But so it's funny that, you know, that we talked about that, right? Like, talking about that era. And you did have a bar kind of around that too, right? Like, the era right before this was more thorough. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm paraphrasing. But do you ever feel like you were ahead of your time when you started? Or do you feel like you came along in the right era where it's kind of like independence is kind of pushed more to the forefront, the bars is pushed to the forefront, and you like more in control of your own destiny, I guess, to a certain extent now.
Yeah, now this shit right on time for me. Now, I mean, I believe in timing for sure. So like this shit right on time. And plus, like, it's a lot of younger homies and shorties that fuck with my shit that don't go back. You know what I'm saying? So like they looking at me like I was looking at the Lox or the Nas's or whatever the case may be. And that's it's a dope way to pay homage unknowingly to keep their strength going. You know what I'm saying? Because they kept lanes open for niggas like me and my team. You know what I mean? And it's just like a cycle to me. You know what I'm saying? But definitely, I don't feel like this the wrong time. This perfect. You know what I mean? We're going to catapult this shit the way it's going to go. I think that this era is too soft and super emotional. I believe that. Like it's way more corniness, but nah, man, I fuck with what's going on right now though.
Yeah, you know what's funny, you said that, right? Cause like it's a lot of times Mari or some, or other niggas that we bang with, they'll send me shit and be like, oh, you need to listen. You know what I mean? You need to listen to this, you need to listen to that. And my response a lot of times is, yo, it's just not for me, right? Like, and when you said a lot of shit is corny, you know, it made me laugh because it's like, I mean, that's how I feel, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be wanting to listen to a lot of, I never wanted to be the nigga when I reached my age now where, like, you know, like my daughter, I got a 2-year-old, right? So like, fast forward when she get 10 and she got her music, right, that she listens to now. I want to be able to say that, yo, I listen to that shit or whatever the case may be. But every year that I get older and I watch the different shit that might be popping at the charts or whatever the case may be, or whatever is the song that you know, youngins is listening to, I think I always come back with the same vibe where I'm just like, yo, it's just not for me, right? Like,
you be missing the easy gems too, though, because you just got up on an album that I talked about like 6 months ago, and I was like,
what album was that?
Pray for Haiti.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, I mean, so yeah, it. But I mean, we gonna keep it a bean. This was an album you suggested that I'm like,
it's albums that I told you that I was listening to and was like, you know, this is what I'm listening to, and you chose to check them out, but
yeah, nah,
that's what I was telling you.
I mean, but that was a no-brainer though, right? Like, I fuck with Griselda. Griselda got the same vibe of the shit that I was listening to in 96, my nigga. Like, forgive me, I'm a square. I work a 9-to-5, kind of, sort of. You know what I'm saying? I'm a dad. I'm outside, but I ain't really outside no more, dog. Like, I'm chilling, right? But I still like hearing about shit. I still like hearing about motherfuckers chopping shit up. I still like that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like the Fab line, you know what I mean? Like, niggas now hear the shit, and it's like, yo, why you love hearing songs about drug dealing, right? It's not that I love hearing songs about drug dealing. That was the era that I grew up in, right? Like, I remember being on the corners, chilling outside all day, all night, not doing shit and watching niggas do their thing, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. So when I hear cats talk about it, to me, it's what you call it, to the past. I don't like the effects that it had on people. Yeah. But it's like Fab said, it was the 90s. You just, I mean, you literally just had to be there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't explain to you why hearing fucking how on that Versus I went fucking crazy when they was playing not on the Versus, but when, you know, what's Kiss Line? They gotta use my shit. They gotta use the scale that they weigh the whales with. Like, yo, I hear that shit and I go fucking crazy. You know what I'm saying? Or cooking up shit on the former girl. I know ain't nobody cooking up
nigga,
shit.
Nigga, so I'm gonna tell you what fucked me up. My wife, that song is so legendary. My wife knows that opening bar. Like, we was driving one day and I let the music play and shit. So the beat come on. It's and without hesitation, nigga, she said, fuck the. And I looked over, I was like, oh.
Yeah,
but I looked up at God, like, yo, like,
that's love.
That's God right there, man. You know what I'm saying? That's God. So you said it now, like, so now I want to ask you about it. When you talk about the new era being like too soft, like, what do you mean in particular? You mean like just the way the rappers respond to like hearing their name on shit, or the music, the industry, like just like whatever it is, what do you mean by that exactly?
Damn, that's a lot. We're gonna start with damn, there's so much to go. It's like, one, like, you gotta have tough skin if you wanna be in this business.
Now I'm sure.
And it's too emotional. Like me, like somebody asked me a question on an interview like a couple weeks ago, and it was like, yo, how you feel if somebody doesn't like your cadence or your voice tone because it's a little more high pitch or whatever, like, does that discourage you? I feel personally like how I approach music is like, if they don't rock with me, my attitude is I'm going to work my way into the rotation. Know what I'm saying? I don't take nothing personal. I use more accountability on myself. Like, I'm going to step it up. With most of these dudes, if somebody that stream they shit or buy they merch or whatever the case may be, tells them their honest opinion and be like, that was trash, I didn't like this, they lose their mind. Yeah. Like, everybody not supposed to like it. And if somebody did, and if everybody did, there's no room for you to grow or be challenged. You know what I'm saying? That's soft as hell to me. And then in like person, you know, like, it's a lot of, I like imagination in rap. I don't like the people who stand on lies and act like that's what then when you see them in person, it's very, very friendly energy. You know what I'm saying?
I hear these stories all the time, man.
It's very sweet. So it's like
it's very sweet.
Yeah, that's real, real high toast corn syrup. So it's like that's crazy. I mean, it's crazy, but like you get used to it. But yeah, this game mad fragile, man. Real, real fragile. But it is what it is.
Oh,
like,
you mentioned merch. Real quick, you right after this, you mentioned the merch, right? And I went on the website, I tried to cop the merch. That shit was sold out on my side. Like, let me know. Like, hit me, let me know how I could grab one of the hoodies, something. Like, I need to, you know what I mean? Like, gotcha. Let's talk after this. But go ahead, Jerv. I just had to get that out there if I forgot. Oh, nah, I need it. Yeah.
You good. So being a motherfucker who clearly I'm not even trying to sound like a young nigga, but like, yo, I get the vibe, my nigga. Like, I get it, right? So, but I gotta ask, being who you are and how you are, right? Like, just on, you know what I mean, you strike this individual 10 toes now all the time. You are who you are, right? Yeah. But when you dealing with industry niggas and you in the mix and you realizing whether it be a niggas bars ain't matching their lifestyle or that what we use in Philly, we call it tough Tony talk. You know what I mean? That tough Tony talk really ain't matching the energy that they give off when they see you, when they not see you, but like you just see them just in general. Like,
yeah.
What's it like when you you kind of said it, but like, what was it like the first time you realized that, like, damn, these niggas, like, cause you was very nice and said imagination, right? Like,
I was cracking.
Like, as soon as you said imagination, I was like, I knew where he was going with this shit, right?
Yep.
So I feel like imagination, that's a very nice way to put it. You know what I'm saying? But I just need to know.
This is a wordsmith, man.
You ain't gotta tell me who the nigga was, no shit. I just need to know that first time you was out and you was like, wait, that's that nigga? This is like, what it is? Yeah. This is what it is? Like, yo, I need to know that. I need to know what that was like.
I know that. It was backstage. Yeah, it was a moment backstage. And it was with their entourage. And you know, at this time, it was, nah, man, it was, they was acting like they was like that. You know what I'm saying?
He ain't trying to say too much, man. I can see, yeah.
I'm saying, but I went in their space, Dolo, and I was weaving through the room very comfortably. And a lot that's of important. Poise.
That's important. A lot of poise.
I'm saying, sitting down on chairs. A lot of shit that nobody would have do if they walked in the room with me and my
word, so word.
After that, I had to get groomed and understand, like, it's a difference. Like, some of these niggas is entertainers, man, and just accept that they're entertainers and don't take it for, like, face value. You know what I mean? I had to learn that real early.
Yo, this nigga's hilarious, dog. Like, and that's the anybody that listen to Riggs, man, that's the most Riggs answer that I probably ever heard to anything. Because the nigga set up very comfortably, sitting on chairs and all that. Nigga, you know what I mean? Like, that's that's crazy.
You painted the picture beautifully, my brother.
He definitely did. Like, he's a writer.
I felt the whole vibe as you was saying that shit, nigga. I felt that shit.
Yo, this nigga's a writer, man, for real. So as far as like the visuals, right? As far as the visuals, I think that you, again, like, you're one of those rappers who's obviously one of my favorites, but also when it comes to the visual side of it, I think that you're one of the most relatable, because even when you do shit like the Beast Chairs and Marcy or Coconut Water or Show Me, any of that, right? It's always authentic, and I feel like it's true to you. Like, so how do you go about, you know, do you keep that in mind, or is this a natural thing when you want to get up to shoot a video? It's like, look, I'm gonna do it over here. I'm gonna do this. It's whatever. You know what I mean?
I just try to fit it to me. Yeah, pretty much. I just try to fit it to me, and I just want the message to be conveyed as best as I can. Know what I mean? Like, as long as it ain't a storyline joint, that's obvious where it got to be a certain way. I just try to be. Know what I mean? Yeah, I just try to be me. Just be relatable, realistic. Try to just be authentic, because anything else, like, I wouldn't like it. Know what I mean? I don't want to look at the video down the road and be like, man, I was doing too much. This shit crazy. You know what I mean? I'll just stick to the script.
Do you ever do that with your old music? Not even in the sense of, like, I was doing too much or I was moving crazy with the older music, but do you ever go back and listen to it and, you know, just because I feel like you might be, because you're introverted, you might be, like, a little bit of a perfectionist. So do you ever go back and listen to your shit and be like, I shouldn't have said that word. I should have did this. You know what I mean? Like, how often do you do that?
Man, yo, when I drop it, I don't even play that shit no more. You know what I mean?
Like, you sound just like my brother L, man. I don't
play that. Like, in the process of creating it and refining it, and I'll be mixing my own shit and all that. So, like, I'm going through the motions. But the moment that shit is live on all plats, I ain't really even playing that shit no more. You know what I'm saying? Because my mind start to go into making the next shit, and then I start seeing inconsistencies, the flaws in what I just did prior. So, yeah, I be getting into that sometimes. Plus, like, you grow. Know what I mean? Like, I visit my old shit sometimes, but I like seeing the growth. Like, my voice ain't even the same. When I first started, I didn't have any expression. Like, how I'm talking right now, I was rapping just like this. People was like, yo, you sound like Prodigy. Like, I literally was just like this. Yeah. Yo, I'm telling you. Nothing. So, like, I definitely go back to my old shit and be like, wow, man. But it's beauty in that growth, though, so I ain't tripping.
So, I gotta ask, you know, and not in the sense of, yo, fuck that nigga, I'm about to hit the studio. But just on the strength of, like, yo, is there anybody out here that like, they drop, or they, you know, they might put a mixtape out, or they might just, you know what I mean, spin on something, and then you just be like, that shit was, I mean, not necessarily that you saying it's all right, but it's just like, yo, you know what, I'm about to hit the studio. Is there anybody that, like, consistently you hearing them and you just like, yo, fuck it, I'm about to go to work today? Or you just always working, so it just be like that?
A mixture. It's a mix. I always usually be on go, regardless of what. And I be in the cave with Lions. So, like, these niggas really give me a lot of push. Like, I like banging with Gates because he got wild energy. Mooch, yeah. Mooch be getting wild, witty. You know what I'm saying? His cadence is real slick. Mav is
shout out to Mooch. Shout out to Mooch.
Mav is real strategic with his words. You know what I'm saying? Like, my son Senf, he don't write. Like, he ain't never write. So, like, his verse be done in 4 minutes. So, like, it's different elements, you know what I mean, in the cave. So, like, I be really sharp off my environment. But as far as, like, outside people, it ain't really too many. Like, not consistently. But if I did have to mention anybody, I would say I heard something that Benny did where I was like, that nigga spitting.
Yeah.
I like spitters, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like that shit. So, like, when they go in their bag, I like that shit and I salute it, but like not consistently. Now I don't really feel it's nobody with
everything. I respect that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I was listening to the tape too, and I got to the skit, right? Like the skit where y'all in the spot ordering the food and all that. Like even things like that. Like how did that shit come about? Because it felt like, you know, it's a part of the story. Like it's a part of the tape. You know what I mean? But like, it just felt like really, really genuine and like, nah, this nigga, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm sure you probably gave off that effect because of the era that we kind of grew up in listening to music. They always had dope skits on they, you know, on they shit like that. But like that skit in particular, the Sobrino skit, like how did that shit come about? And like, was it planned or was it just something you did on the spot? Like how, because the shit is funny. Like I feel like it's funny without even trying to be funny, but like, how did that shit come about? I wanted to ask you that.
Nah, that shit, I did that, the tie in to Get Yours. I didn't plan mm-hmm. to do that. That shit, like, that's really happened a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that really happened a lot. So that was all game. Like, especially with Mooch. Anywhere I go with that nigga, it turned into some funny shit. Like, anywhere, you know what I mean? So, like, that was...
Yeah, I figured from the vibe of it was like, I feel like y'all probably do shit like that so much. He was like, let me put this shit on here. Like, his niggas ain't gonna believe. If I just told this story somewhere, niggas wouldn't believe it. But it's, you know, it fit, you know, even in the grand scheme. But even a song like Get Yours, right? To talk about that. I think that song is one of those ones that reminds me the most of the music that I came up on, where it's like, I can rap. You know I'm nice. But let me give you some shit that you really need to think about. Like, something you need to really start looking at people differently for and look at yourself. And all of that, you know what I mean? Like, so do you ever, you know, we talked about it earlier about the process and it's a feeling and shit like that, but do you ever find yourself being like maybe done with a project or done with a song and be like, I ain't giving a nigga no gems on that, let me do it on this, or let me, you know, like, are you always conscious of that? Like, I have to give you gems on this no matter what.
When I'm done with a joint, if it don't feel like, when I start a joint, I mean, if it don't feel like full in the way that I'm about to approach it, I won't even fuck with it. So I usually like be happy with it when I'm done. Like when I hear a beat, that's why I like, you know, you like now at the stage I'm at, I get offered to do beats and paid to do beats that I may not want to do. And then at that point it's work. Like I got a shit there.
Got you.
And bang with it, make sure it's right. But like if I'm picking the joint, I see the picture like soon as I hear it. So, like, I already know if I'm going to paint it and fill the whole motherfucking board up versus if I feel like I'm lacking, I'll be like, nah, I ain't going to hit it right. You know what I'm saying? And I'll just keep going.
God damn. Yeah. So, shit, like, so I'm trying to think, right? Like, when you talk about, like putting projects out in this new era, because, like, before, the heavyweights would drop, like, once a year, you know, usually, like, in the fourth quarter. Everybody else would kind of drop in between like that. Like, do you ever feel pressure? And then also with being, you know, like doing this shit independently, right? Like, do you ever feel pressure to be like, I got to put something else out next month, or I got to keep up with what everybody else is doing? Or are you comfortable with what you're doing? You on your own path?
Yeah, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable as long as I'm meeting my standard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not following nobody else's standard. But if I'm not keeping up with my shit, then it's a problem. You know what I'm saying? And this shit is, like, way different. Like, an album used to hold a nigga a year, two.
A year, a season at the least.
Yeah, so now it's so, everything is so saturated and processed so fast. Like, if you don't have a real rollout, like a real rollout, and keep rolling that motherfucker.
Yeah, like pushing the date back and, you know, like, doing whatever.
World, like,
shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm saying.
Doing pop-up listening parties.
Yeah, for shit that's not even done. And yeah, just all, shit like that.
All kind of shit. Like, you might be dead in 4 days, man. And I think honestly, like, this era is a little spoiled too, because a lot of dudes is bums, because like, when you drop a tape, you got music and all that. We know this. Music, let them vibe to it, let them soak it in, whatever. But the commercial to that is always going to be a video. Know what I'm saying? It's like the commercial to the vision. Because everybody ain't even going to get where you coming from or see it. We dealing with algorithms where you might post some shit and only 40% of the motherfuckers is following when you see it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people is just dropping shit and not putting nothing behind it, you know what I mean, and force it. And I think, like, that's whack. So that's why I be real, like, heavy and hard on myself with visuals, because it's like, I want everybody to come in my world, but I also want them to look forward to something besides the tape drop. Like, you know what I mean? They deserve that, like, at least.
That's crazy. That's crazy, because, like, I remember, like, all these, everybody that we've mentioned throughout this entire show, mm-hmm. like, you know, I remember, like, videos, like, really looking forward to the fucking video and shit. Like, yo, I got, you know what I mean? Oh, this nigga about to drop this video, or I can't wait till the video for this song come out. And now, you know, it's like, you know, you got some people that really put their effort into their videos, and you got some people that's just like, flick the phone up or whatever and push record.
And just put out anything, yeah.
I want some real shit. Like, what pops in my mind is when Cam and Fifth was beefing, right?
Yeah.
And Cam dropped whatever the fuck he dropped. I forget what it was, and there's no disrespect. Love Cam. The nigga Fifth pushed record at his crib and had all his niggas just dancing and doing all, like, whatever whatever the name of the track was that he was dissing Cam on. And I feel like literally since that moment, videos have been different. As far as, you don't really see Hype Williams production videos anymore. In fact, when I see that type of shit, I'm so fucked up because I don't see that mm-hmm. anymore. I'm like, yo, nigga, I become the nigga. I'm like, damn, niggas still do that shit. Yeah. Like, niggas really still do that. But like, that used to be it. Like, your video. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
nigga, it used to be a whole show called Making the Video to show, like, oh shit, this is how they made this video.
Yeah, MTV and BT used to really just play fucking videos. That shit used to be crazy.
They used to have $1 million budgets for videos and shit, $2 million videos. You know what I mean? Like, shit like that too. But I think, in my opinion, I think what kind of changed that is, like, the more people started getting empowered because, like, they figured out, oh, I can go shoot a video too. So I don't got to go pay a nigga $500,000. And I just spent probably $4,500 on this setup. And I'm going to just do this. So I feel like kind of, you know what I mean?
Let me make my shit clear. I'm not downplaying. I want these niggas to take advantage of these budgets all fucking day. Because niggas been getting over on artists for years. So if you find a way to do your motherfucking video for, I don't know, I'll just say 5,000. I know that's probably not possible, but and they give you 100,000 budget and you get the pocket 95K and disperse that shit, however you disperse it, I'm all for that, dog, because, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm not trying to say, you know, I just find it funny or find it interesting that the video, because of YouTube, because of how easy it is to just make content now. I'm not gonna say it's easy to make a rap video or any type of music video in general.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Like, it's not. Like, I've had to edit them shits, and I'll be saying it like, God, like, damn, this shit's crazy, right? Yeah, but like, if there's a way you can pocket that bread and get over on the content production and still put out quality shit, cool. I fool with that. It's just, I find it funny that the $1 million videos that when I was growing up, we felt as though, and I'm not even trying to be funny, like, but when I was growing up and we felt, Yo, why this nigga? Yo, this nigga Puff is driving a Benz backwards with helicopters and shit, going on top of the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like that shit. I don't know how much that cost, dog, but that's $1 million to me. You know what I'm saying? Niggas ain't doing that no more. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's just interesting how the video game has changed. You know what I'm saying? To a degree, I think it actually makes it better for niggas that can spit too. Because it makes it easier to pay attention to what you're saying. Nope. And I'm not getting caught up in the Versace and the fucking whatever, you know what I'm saying?
But see, I think that's why, and that's what I was talking about earlier when I was talking about Riggs with the visuals. I think that's why his visuals work so well, because it's like, even if you never see the video, he can rap. But when you see the video, it's like, oh shit, okay, this looked like how it sound. You know what I'm saying? Like this is what it is. Real quick. Right, like we, you know, like wrapping up soon and all that. But what I want to talk about, right, is like music that you like working on. You know, now, like I said, the tape been out for maybe like a little bit over like a month and a half, and that shit been in my rotation. You know, since it dropped, like since I heard it, I'm not even gonna hold you. So like, what's your next steps as far as like music, like rolling out shit, or you know. However, like what else can we expect from you soon in the future?
Shit, I got four more vids for the wake ups. I'm gonna drop.
Okay.
As far as musically, after that, I got a tape with Muggs. It's coming out in November, DJ Muggs. I got a group tape with me and my team, the club. Probably gonna drop that in October. And I might be done for the year. I might surprise in December, but I'll probably wait till January, try my next solo joint. But besides that, I'm gonna be just behind the boards, making sure gate shit right, time shit right, everybody shit come out properly.
Okay, yeah, nah, I fuck with that, man. You know, and again, man, you know, this is a show that we give artists their flowers, you know, all the time. And I wanna say that you're one of my favorite rappers. You're somebody who I think is, you know, it doesn't seem like Riggs is a facade. Like, it doesn't seem like, oh, this is just, I'm in rap mode, and then when the beat go off, I'm gonna go back to doing some shit that I don't talk about. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's something like that. And then also, it just kind of restore that feeling. You know what I mean? Like the feeling that we get when we listen to old Lock shit, you know, style, like whatever, you know, that era that, you know, that we came up on where it was like, what the fuck is this? Like, you know, to still have that feeling in 2021 and still be able to rewind the nigga shit in 2021, a lot of people that don't give that feeling off, where it's like, wait a minute, not only what did he just say, but like, let me rewind that just so I can catch that, you know, totally, like, okay, this is what he's talking about. So I want to say thank you for that, you know, for you, for being you, really, you know what I mean, for just being ill. Again, thank you for, you know, for joining us on the pod and shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Whenever you drop, you know what I mean, trust me, you got fans and, you know, supporters and all that shit, bro, trust me, like, we're going to pump that shit out there for real, dog. But hey, another episode of Rap Names Podcast, man. Listen, continue to rate, subscribe, review, tell a friend to tell a friend and all that, man. We out.